Welcome to Talking Baseball. We are joined by Jeff Passan today to talk about breaking news and the newsbreakers alike. Trying to get on the same head now as Travis. Can't do it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talking Baseball. We hope you're having a fantastic Friday morning. We hope you're excited for the weekend. We hope you are ready for baseball to be back on the screens in a couple months, because as you know, it's about to be, and we have a very special guest joining us today, Jeff Passan from ESPN, to talk about news breaking. Trev, one of your now adversaries in the news breaking world?
I think he's more of a colleague, I would say.
Okay.
Than an adversary. I'm not here to fight with anybody or compete with anybody. You know who I'm competing with? Myself.
Yeah.
Just want to be a better version of myself every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sucks when you have a good day and then you'll be like, shit, I got to beat this tomorrow.
I haven't thought that one through, so maybe I'll stop trying.
Jake, how are you doing?
I'm good. And yeah, I think Jeff is I'd call him a teammate, because I think it wasn't officially written down on paper, but I think what we agreed to was kind of that, like, when they talk about it in the office and what was it? Office Space, when they're like, hey, we're going to take the 0.001% of every transaction and count it as our own. Mm-hmm. Basically, every Jeff Passan news breaking from here on out, we get 0.001% of it.
Take it.
So now we're a team.
Yeah. We're like his farm system a little bit. A feeder program.
We're just going to funnel stuff through him.
All right. Hey, it was really kind of Jeff to sit down with us and talk about it. I think it was a fantastic conversation. If you don't know Jeff, we met him at winter meetings. Jake and I had talked to him, DM'd him a couple times, and kind of had somewhat of a rapport, but we never met in person. We met him at winter meetings. He was awesome, funny, and just a cool guy. So here is the interview, it's not even an interview.
Are we going full cold open? Because I don't know if you remember that. We came in.
Yeah, yeah.
With kind of a different intro.
He basically said, I want to say something. Can you start recording? And then he led the way. So here you go.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Here's that.
Just get into it, baby. Yeah.
No, I have no problem doing this. This is something that has kind of freaked me out.
We're rolling.
Rolling.
I'm wondering if it's like, is it an optical illusion or is it something you did? There's a picture I saw of you. I think it's your Twitter profile picture.
Okay.
And you've got your thumbs up, right?
Yeah.
Do you have the longest, most disproportionate thumbs in the world compared to the rest of your tiny little body? Okay. Or is it somehow just like,
oh my God,
illusion? Seriously, look at the thumbs. They
He's
are
right.
Long.
I oh, think no. I have an. I think I have an answer.
It's
I think
a batting
the
glove,
batting
right?
gloves don't fit your tiny hands.
I think we are with Jeff Passan, pride of Solon, Ohio. Making fun of my Twitter avatar. Yeah, dude, that's straight batting gloves. I wish I could take credit for that.
That is really, yeah. It was freaking me out. I was like, what is Jake's thumbs?
Oh my God. Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, Jake, that left thumb.
Yes. It was the left thumb in particular.
That's hilarious. Hey, but your bod is popping right there. Like, you
I mean,
good.
I'm covered in milk because Coach Ballgame's a psychopath. And we're off the rails before we started.
did you expect any less? I came in suited.
I wanted you to come in. I was going to say, come in with a jersey or something. But, nah. I mean, it's your life. It's your life.
I actually wear this 24 hours a day. I'm like Barney Stinson, sleep in the suit. You know, I have a suit underneath this suit right now, actually, for when I eat spaghetti.
If someone tweets you a scoop, you're like, hold on, let me get my suit on.
You know what I wish ESPN would do? I wish ESPN would get me the John Clayton commercial suit, Do you remember,
yeah,
like,
the rip-offs.
Mom, I'm done with my segment, and I could just like slide it right on? It doesn't exist that way. And the thing is, Jake and I have sort of been going back and forth on this. I actually need to do SportsCenter in 30 minutes or so, which is why I figured get the flow going, get the suit on, and move on with my merry life.
What are they asking you about on SportsCenter? You want to just give it to us first?
Squash. All squash. It's going to be fantastic.
Quarantine squash league.
I'm glad that we're getting toward the point where something substantive is going to start happening. And it's not just me speculating on plans that are being thrown out there.
Really irresponsible for someone to tweet out something like kind of early, right?
I gotta tell you, man, it was the most stressful like 48 hours I've had in a long time.
It's the worst. It is I have always thought whenever I get to like a game seven or a 163 or something like that, how do these guys get in front of 40,000 people in the stadium who are either screaming for them to do something that will enrich their lives or screaming against them because they hate them? How do they step into a batter's box and hit a projectile being thrown at them by the 99.9999% best in the world person doing that? One that can either go straight at 95, can cut at 93, can tilt at 88, can go 12 to 6 at 75, can fade at 81. You know, how do you do that? And then I realized that the stress of that is equaled only by when you drop something on the internet and nobody immediately backs you up. I think I saw you say it. I felt like I was out on an island. And listen, I felt terrible for you. I wanted to be able to come out and say, yeah, he's right. Because I don't like knowing that anybody has that feeling that I have felt before. Because it is a horseshit feeling, man. It is as rough as it gets when you feel like, am I crazy? Did I say something that was wrong? And by the way, you did say something that was wrong. Journalism tip 101.
Okay, here we go.
Not go too far. Make sure that your words perfectly reflect what's actually going on. Because you, as someone who had been in the Major League Baseball Players Association, had to know that in order for any plan to be in place, that the players would have to have been told about it. Now,
I didn't know.
Information was correct. You just went too strong with it. And that's the lesson that you will take away from here. And it's a hard one to learn, man, especially like here's the thing. I will admit this is how my day went. Somebody from I think it was the news desk at ESPN, which is like the sort of central hub of news gathering there, said, hey, is there anything to this? And my first instinct was there might be. But my second instinct was it's a former ball player who wants to be a newsbreaker. And so he's probably full of shit.
Oh,
okay.
Listen, if I love the honesty box and try and swing, the same thing's going to happen. I could train for a year to try and hit a tank. And Trevor would look at my one swing and say, amateur. So I made a few calls, and they were probably calls to some of the same people that Keith Law did. And we were all told, no, it is not true. Like, we were all told that. And I think we were told it's not true because of the way that it was phrased.
Yeah.
You had just hedged a tiny little bit there and just been a little bit more judicious with the words. Like the way I put it, the reason we didn't reference it that night is because I said, you know, it's probably true that mid-June is what they're targeting. It's probably true that early July is what they're targeting. I just don't have those specific dates from anyone. But what sold me, and in the end, what got you the credit that you wanted, you need to thank the Cleveland Indians, because the Cleveland Indians, on their phone call with their players, used June 10th and used July 1st. And had they not used those exact dates, I would not have been as inclined to say Trevor got it right. But when they got those exact dates, like, we couldn't deny that you had put those out there first.
I appreciate that. And I do want to say, like, this wasn't some, like, off the hip, I'm just going to tweet this shit out right away. You want to know who helped me tweet that?
Yeah, I'll take a lot of blame. I helped my boss phrase that.
Which is not a surprise at all, because I have given Jimmy shit in the past yep. for saying incorrectly on Twitter too. He's the worst person to go to.
Well, now I know.
In that situation, he's not going to be the angel on your shoulder. He's the devil.
It was a mistake, because even Trev was like, these are tentative dates, but these are the dates that I've been told. So we should have put tentative, but it's still like, I don't know. It's weird. We're not trying to be you and Rosenthal.
Oh, but of course not.
But he did pass along good info, because that's what all the teams are hearing. It's just and some people will never, like, you know, we're at a point on Twitter and in news breaking where people will never believe Trev or me first. They'll be like, I'll wait till Passon and Rosenthal confirm this. Yeah. When did you get to that point? When did you bypass that and become the authority?
Good question.
I don't know.
You and Ken are the only people I trust out there.
I appreciate that first. Thank you. Second,
Tim Kirkjian. I like him too.
Kirkjian's the best. It's a very weird place to be. And I don't know when that happened, because I'm not like trying to be modest and say, oh, little me. No, it's just weird for me to acknowledge that, because all it does now is set me up in the future to feel like Trevor did for the last 48 hours. And that is not it. Like, you do not want the guillotine hanging over your neck with every word you write. But if I am going to like trace it back, it probably was when I started with ESPN. Like, that is the power of ESPN right there. It's the authority on sports, and it's looked at that way. And as much impact as I could have had at Yahoo, and as others did, like, you know, Woj was at Yahoo too. We had an unbelievable staff there, but it was never the kind where if you have something, you know, Scott Van Pelt is going to ask you questions about it at night, or you know, Kevin Nagandy and Sage Steele at 6 o'clock, or Buchagross and Kenny Mayne, or just this litany of people whose faces we've grown accustomed to and whose voices we trust. And I think there's like this gravitas that comes with ESPN, because our job is to get things right. And very rarely we don't. And when we don't, it is just the worst. It sucks. And the scary part for you, Trevor, is there's a psychological element to it. You knew you weren't wrong. You just couldn't prove it. And that really sucks.
I had two guys who I trust a lot tell me those dates. And that's kind of when I brought it to Jim, and we hashed that tweet out. And then what the scariest part for me was when guys like Flaherty and Trevor Bauer and a couple of Josh Reddick, I think, was another guy, were like, I haven't heard any of this. And I'm like, oh man. but then, like,
you know, literally, you know what? Flaherty came after me on Twitter a couple months ago for suggesting that we should have an automated strike zone.
Oh boy.
Forget that.
That's a big topic of debate. But later that day, I was like, the texts started rolling in from a bunch of guys, and that's when I started to feel a lot better about it. It was like 5, 6, 7 other organizations all telling the guys the same date. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to relay information, dude. Like that's all I cared about.
We also knew why
that happened.
So here's another thing, like, you know, tip for the future. I hope you don't get too many scoops, because that means I'm not. But what you have to do is understand just how big the information is, and you need to almost balance it and be, when a story is as big as humanly possible, I'm not saying to play it down lower, lower, and lower. Just know that every word is going to be parsed. Every word is going to be ripped apart. This is a perfect example. I'm not going to use the person's name who did this, but I am indebted to him forever for this. You guys remember the mutiny against Bobby Valentine? Trev, you were playing at the time. Jimmy
Red Sox, Bobby V?
What's that?
Red Sox, Bobby V?
Red Sox, Bobby Valentine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys as Yankee fans probably were enjoying
it. It's a fun year.
So I had gotten wind of this meeting that had taken place where the players essentially were going to ownership and saying, you know, this guy is not working. And it's a big deal anywhere. It's a really big deal with a guy of Bobby Valentine's stature in Boston. And for about a month, I had heard about this and didn't have a corroborating source. And finally, I got a corroborating source. And I'm like, giddy up, let's get this thing out there. But before I did, I had to call up somebody in the Red Sox organization and essentially say, hey, this is what I've got coming. Do you guys, essentially, do you guys have anything to say about this? So I called up somebody in the Red Sox organization and read the first two paragraphs of the story just to say, hey, this is what this is going to be saying. And he said, all sounds right, except back in the first paragraph, I had mentioned a particular player's name as being among those who had complained. And I was told that that player did not lodge complaints against Bobby Valentine. And what that did right there was completely save me. Because the second that one player can come out and say, I did not do this, that casts doubt on everything else you write. Every word, every comma, every period, every paragraph, everything else is cast into doubt. Which is why, like, you got to bat 1,000. In this job.
Yeah.
And that is the, it doesn't keep me up at night because I don't sleep much. So when I sleep, it's wonderful, but it's what makes the job as consuming as it is.
That's why I'm out.
Yeah.
A thousand, I'm out. I'm retiring from the game. We already talked about this. Any scoops that I get, guess who they're going straight to?
This guy.
Friend of the pod.
Yep. So,
Why do you think I decided to come on today? You think there was a strategy
involved here? Hey, we're all playing that chess game, baby.
Everything that Jeff breaks in the future, just know he got that from Trev.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. I don't want any credit, man. I don't. I really don't.
Well, what was interesting?
Never asked for that.
What was interesting and that we loved and was respectful was, like you said, you and Keith Law probably went to the same person and got the same answers, and we knew what answer that was, because like Trev knew it wasn't officially proposed and officially accepted yet, just knew that it was going to be proposed and going to be accepted.
By the way, can I jump in here for a second? Yeah. Keith is getting raked over the coals here. I don't know how this podcast feels about that. Probably not great.
I tried to stop it today.
I mean, listen, we're all always just trying to do our jobs.
Well, here's the difference, though. Keith was like outwardly saying that it was false and liar. You got asked that very night on the KBO broadcast, mm-hmm. and you were like not disrespectful or not even like denying it or anything. You just said, it might be true, but it's not official yet. And we're very, you went a much more appreciative route from Trev's perspective on it.
Yeah, no, I was extremely disrespectful behind the scenes.
That's fine.
That's okay. That's fine.
Right. That's what I saved. That's even worse, actually, because I'm just being a dick to you to everyone else. And then to your face, I'm dressing up in a suit. It's perfect.
It is funny.
Well, you listen to Pink Floyd, so I'm okay with you.
All right, all right. See, that is if ever we're going to bring the Red Sox and Yankees fandoms together, I feel like you're going to be the glue who does that, because you know Jared Carrabas is an enormous Pink Floyd fan, actually. Ooh. And if you could get him to do a crossover here, I mean, listen, if there is any time, like Jimmy, Jake, we're never going to get Astros fans on here.
No.
Like this right here.
I'm huge. I'm huge in the Astros community. I'm down with John Boy. I'm all in.
It's funny. We like, I get, Jimmy, I get lumped together with you all the time.
Maybe we found the common denominator, the problem here.
Yeah, it is such strange bedfellows too, because I think like in our approach, we could not be any more opposite than we are.
It's true.
Like, couldn't be in any way, but they hate us just the same. I understand why they hate you.
I do too. I
mean, you're terrible to them.
All I've done is just say you cheated.
Yeah, you troll them pretty hard though. Like, if we're being honest now, like if I'm being the independent adjudicator in this situation, you absolutely troll them all the time, and you take joy in it. I take no joy in going on ESPN and like standing in front of their 2017 World Champions logo for like 2.5 straight weeks. Like, spring training was definitely a very odd time. Yeah. I will say this. I kept saying, you know, to people are saying like, these are fellow reporters saying like, how long you been here? And I was like, I've been here for a long time, but I'm getting paroled in a couple of days. And I had driven cross state to Atlanta's facility. And that's where like all the GMs were meeting, and they had the managers there too. And, you know, it was like spring training media day. And I was looking forward. I was supposed to meet with someone from the Braves organization, have lunch the next day. And I was just going to like live the normal life of spring training that I'm used to on the other side of the state. And then I got a call that night. And the call that night said Altuve is going to walk through the clubhouse with his shirt off tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, really?
I miss those days.
They're like, really? Yeah, don't you? Don't you miss like how bad is Jose Altuve's tattoo actually? And so that night, got back into the car, went to the nearest gas station, bought a pack of sunflower seeds and a couple of 20-ounce Coke Zeros, and drove 3 hours to watch a grown man walk through a clubhouse.
Oh my gosh,
that was organized like that. That's funny. I mean, you know, the tattoo stories.
I think what it was is, people had been saying after Carlos Correa's interview with Ken Rosenthal, people had been saying, okay, but this tattoo. So he wanted to say, yeah, I actually have a tattoo. Here it is. The whole thing was so comical when he was doing it too. He walks into the clubhouse. It's just like Baywatch. He like strips the shirt right off and his majestic tattoo. See, his daughter's name is just like right there. And walks through the clubhouse.
That's awesome.
The tattoos, like the tattoo stuff was like the first thing that fully added up. Like all of the parts of it. It was like regular print when he didn't like it. He blurred it out in a picture of him on the beach after he got it, which proves he was embarrassed of it. Then he played the whole game shirtless. Put a shirt on right before the celebration and like actually added up. It was like, oh my God, it's kind of embarrassing that he was so embarrassed of just a simple tattoo. And then he got it redone with cursive in between the World Series. That was, I gave him credit. I was like, hey, that's weird, but it adds up.
You have any embarrassing tattoos?
No, I have none. I just got burns.
Burns? What?
Whoa.
Jeff.
Just got dark.
Do you have... Can you tell us like what Ken said to you after that Correa interview? It's like got to go down as one of the greatest interviews in sports history. Like that was like a WWE promo. Okay. And like, I felt like Ken was like, are we rolling? Like what?
So here's how that went down. That was a very weird day in the clubhouse because Verlander had talked that morning, and he had said some things. And when Verlander talks, you don't want to be the only guy in the clubhouse that day who has said something, right? Because you know that everything you say is going to be on the local news, is going to be on ESPN, is going to be on MLB Network, is going to be replayed and replayed and replayed. By the way, is my video feed not coming through?
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
We can hear you fine.
All right. That's all that matters. You honestly, this is better. You don't have
this to. This is better. This is what I wish I had all the time.
Verlander, I think Verlander at that point is kind of like, okay, boys, who's actually going to come out and talk right now? And a bunch of us were in the clubhouse waiting for Correa because he was like the logical person to speak. You know, he had been pretty outspoken on the apology day, and we figured he was going to be the one to talk. And he leaves the clubhouse, and some of the local guys are getting like pissed off. Like, and I don't blame him. Like, where's Correa going? What's Correa doing? Little did we know that right outside the clubhouse, he is just giving this. I don't even know how to.
So that was planned. He went out there to talk to Ken.
Yes, or did
Ken follow him?
No, I'm pretty sure this had been arranged as well.
Go Kenny. All right.
Oh, Kenny is. I hate Kenny because he's really, really good, and I don't actually hate him. Because he's a terribly nice and kind and thoughtful and generous human being. And that makes me hate him even more, actually.
Sure.
Because you wish he was terrible. And you wish you actually had reason to look at him and be like, no, I don't like you. I want to go out there and beat you every day.
That was the wildest, like, whatever interview for baseball. That was so weird.
Yeah, it was the best. And I thought, you know what? I thought he handled it really, really well, too, like pushing back on some of the stuff that
he did.
Oh, yeah. Kenny did. Yeah.
Like it is that's a hard thing to do in the moment because you have questions that you want to ask. And sometimes you have to deviate from those questions in order to follow up. So you almost have to be thinking and listening and formulating new questions at the same time, because you don't want to come back when somebody says something and be like you can't stumble. You have to have things ready in that moment and you can't miss your opportunity.
This is crazy. Well, we know you got to go. Well, Jake, what you got?
I was going to say, have you taken a step back yet and been like, okay, you know, this would probably be NFL, NHL playoffs. You're getting run on SVP late night. Have you been like, hey, this has been kind of nice for Jeffy P?
I mean, I work at ESPN and cover baseball. When is life not nice for?
This is true.
Nice.
Good perspective, Jeff.
EP. Is that what you call me, Jake?
You know, I mix it up. I can. I call you an assortment of names.
Wow. With the MLB flag.
That's tough.
Wow.
I just Googled it.
I think the other thing we wanted to get out of you before you have to go for ESPN or whatever you were talking about. Do you have anything that you want us to break that you have like one source on that we can get out there and look like we can look like assholes about but it won't be from you. It'll be from us.
I've got like 25 of those.
Oh, yes.
And I will not let any of you near any of them.
Perfect. Jeff, I wore this hat on purpose. I do have some breaking NBA news if you want to put it out there. It's no big deal if you don't. I've heard from sources there will be no more regular season. It'll be straight to the playoffs. Book it.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
That's I'm being serious.
That's a serious one?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to take and run with it, go ahead.
I love that you have sources. I love
I think I just more have like friends.
They'd have to play a couple games, like warm-up games.
Here's the thing. I always, Trevor, thought that from those Twins teams, it was going to be like Perk, who was going to be in the Twins booth, and it was going to be like Slowey, who was going to be an analyst somewhere. I honestly don't know if I had you pegged. And Torrey, I thought Torrey was going to be like in the World Series booth if he wanted to be.
He could if he wanted to.
Yeah, of course he could. He could do anything. Like, and you guys had Poppy predated you by a little bit, right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
a bit.
Oh, like the beauty of the Twins teams is that like the early Torrey era and the late Torrey era all mixed together for me, and yeah. It was always like the Twins were always my favorite team to come to Kansas City where I live. And I don't think you and I pretty much ever talked. So good to finally chat.
I appreciate it. I wasn't good enough as a baseball player, but I think I'm getting good at like a media guy.
You are. Like,
respect.
Like, you're good at this. I mean, listen, you were as a baseball player, one of the best in the world. Like that's literally true. It doesn't matter what your numbers were. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. You are one of the best baseball players in the entire world. So that's like a steep hill to climb in this industry. And you got some work to do, but you've been doing this for how long? 6 months?
Since November, baby.
Yeah. Wow. It's working. It's working.
You. Yeah. All right. We'll let you go, man. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll have you on later. We'll do a whole 2-hour session with you.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I'm going to do real TV right now.
All right.
Oh, no.
Enjoy it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
And there you have it. New colleague, Jeff Passan, joined us. I mean, that was a lot of fun. I mean, it's cool to have someone of his stature recognize us and also shit on us because I think both are appreciated. If it was just one or just the other, it's either it's insincere or just being a jerk. So you need both here.
Trev, how are you feeling after all that?
I came to this conclusion after the interview we just did, where it was a conversation.
Yeah.
A bit of a schooling, if you will, on journalism. But I'm happy to report that much like my career against position players pitching, where I batted 1,000, I will be leaving the sports journalism world also batting 1,000. And that's not something a lot of people can say. So
we'll
I'm happy with where it's at.
We'll still get some tidbits, though, because the song's too good to not use anymore.
I know. You know, I'm just kind of – we just told Jeff that I was going to get out of the game, but I think I lied to him.
I think you're so much deeper.
I think I'm kind of addicted. I think I'm addicted to it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I resisted.
Maybe we'll do pod only.
Because when Jeff came back and he was starting to fluff you up and he was like, you know, talking about your baseball career a little bit, there was some jokes to be made about your batting average compared to your batting average with this. And I mean, hey, man, you can now that you're on top, like, yes, you could go out or I mean, I think you just keep grinding that stone, my man.
And like, I don't have sources. I have friends. And I think that's better.
I think that might have been the best line of the interview.
I think you can't say that too much because then people that don't have friends and only sources, they're going to be like, wow, I'm so sad.
I don't want anyone to feel sad. I really don't. This is what I want. And I've told people this about baseball too. I want everyone to do their best because that's when the game is the best.
Mm-hmm.
So I want all you reporters out there, keep grinding, keep working hard.
But I'm
and just know that when you're sleeping, I'm working.
I got friends.
I got friends. And they don't sleep.
I got friends.
That is cool that like the tide's turned now because everyone's putting out this same June, July dates. And then a lot of people are saying, why not July 4th like we talked about, bud?
Yeah, I think Jeff made a good point. Like the verbiage in our tweet, and I'm going to say it's our tweet, Jim, just because you can't get away from that. Okay?
No, I'm full responsibility. I feel bad because the thing is, and it's not a question I wanted to ask him because he says you need to leave some, I call them escape words, but you need to leave some flex words or something like that, like a potentially of the, I've heard sort, you know, this.
I think the biggest one was you should have went would instead of will. It would take place June 10th. It would start July 1st. I think if you pivot those, but that's what sucks about it. That's what
I'd say May instead of
one. Then I'm like everybody else. And we're better than that at John Boy Media.
Yeah. But I wanted to ask him, like, because some reporters, I won't say their name, John Heyman, only uses escape words. Like every tweet is always maybe or might be or potentially or interested. You know, he never puts anything concrete out there. So, like, where's the balance?
What's the point? Yeah, what's the point of that?
That's why, though, dude, that's why you said you don't follow Heyman. I said, don't follow him. It's the worst Twitter account. It's nothing but word salad and, like, escape words galore. But, like, so, like, where... Yeah. I like that we did no escape words because we were being all brave, and but maybe we should have added, like, one or something like that. But I wanted to ask him, like, where's the balance?
If we had, like, 10 more minutes, I would have liked to ask him, like, hey, how would you type that tweet with the amount of info we had if you were...
Oh, that would have been a good question.
Level of knowledge. I think if we had like five more minutes, we could have.
I think he wouldn't have with our level. Yeah.
He wouldn't have tweeted it. Yeah.
If he was going to be hitting send.
And I think that's I think that's the best part of that conversation that happened is I don't know if a single question we wanted to ask was asked because, I mean, I know Jeffy P, as I called him, and he hated, which I'm proud of at this point. He looks so young. I think he's 40. He's one of the people
he's old, dude,
he stays up to my standards of youth, which is impressive. I look 14, he looks 18. But dude, he ran like Yahoo Baseball for 13 years. Like he was like that was my fantasy baseball coach for like a decade. And yet now he's like he's a peer equal, he's our teammate, like I said. So hopefully we do get him again because, I mean, we could have – I know Jimmy mentioned it again and he shot us down with the big ESPN drop. But, like, I mean, we could have genuinely talked to him like
he said
2.5
TV.
Hours easy. Yeah, that was big.
And I wanted to come back and say, you mean Tim Tebow and LeBron James network? Like literally all you guys do is talk about those two people. And now Michael Jordan.
Good thing the interview ended then.
Yeah, I like Jeff. I was.
Well, he said no because I said we were going to get him for 2 hours, which is like an escape ask by me because I say you're going to come back on the show, and he probably says yes to that. But then I say 2 hours, which allows him to be like,
"Good for you, Jim.
Yeah. Look at that
playing chess."
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
So he says yes, but just not 2 hours.
Also, a subtle dig when you put the MLB Network microphone in his hand for the picture. Way to go.
I mean, I just Googled legit, Jeff Passan and took up a picture.
What happens next, guys? Do we think the big MLB drop comes like Monday, Tuesday? Do we think something comes out like tomorrow?
Well, they have to propose it, which they're announcing the proposal this week or next week. In the coming days, it's going to be proposed. And then there's still going to be a fight over money.
That's the biggest thing, yes.
There's still going to be a fight over money, and it's all the contracts and... It's actually, I'm like super interested in it as if it's a game itself to see how it plays out because I think both sides have some good points.
I think it's going to come down to actually what our good friend Jeffy P said in his article. I think it's going to come down to the deferred money. I think they're going to say, we'll get you your money. It's just got to be next year or 2 years, whatever it is. And I think players would be like, what I've heard and what we've talked about is there's no room for negotiation on the player's side. That's the way they're approaching it. But push comes to shove, they get that deferred money. It's still paid in full. I think you can handle that. But we'll see.
I loved the deferred money. The deferred money, even that idea being brought up, which was in Passan's article, made me think, okay, there is going to be a creative way that this gets solved where both teams give and take. Because like the players union signed a deal saying that they would just get the prorated thing. And I think it's all well and good that they can say, we're not going to renegotiate because when you signed this, you knew the potential for not having fans in the stands. So why would we open up negotiations again? Then there's also the saying that billionaires beat millionaires all the time, and it's 30 billionaire owners versus a bunch
and
of
their henchmen,
and their henchmen versus a bunch of millionaire baseball players. So interesting.
I think they what they're going to have to do is if they – I don't think – now that I'm really thinking about it, deferred money is not enough. It's going to be deferred money with interest. Like, that's the only way they can do it. So we will see, man.
We will see. All right. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Go thank Jeff for coming on the show. And just know, don't tell him, don't remind him, but know anything he breaks in the future, he definitely got from Trev.
Should we have our people tweet something fun at him? Like one of us or Ploof's posse or something? I don't know. Something weird.
He's not going to enjoy anything.
None of it. None of it. No. Yeah. That's why it's perfect.
Yeah.
Like, would he go drink beers with us?
Yes.
He's got to be on the clock, though. He's got to bring all three of his phones and shit.
Instant tap out.
Is he a wine guy? A beer guy? Whiskey?